When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like AMS, SNR Remodeling, Madison Computer Works, and the Axley Law Firm. All right, joining us now, Kate Taves. She's running for the Madison School Board. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sly.
All right, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I have three little kids. I have a one-year-old, four-year-old, and seven-year-old. My seven-year-old's in public school here in first grade. And I've got kind of a funny background. I spent the last 15 years working in the business world. I ran a startup here, and before that, I worked in schools.
Teaching?
I ran a peer mediation program in Boston Public Schools.
What is a peer mediation program?
It is a program where we train students to resolve conflicts themselves. So we teach...
Like punching someone on a playground?
Literally that, yes. So we basically, I worked with students at a high school of about 1,500 kids, and we trained a set of peer leaders. I worked with about 30 students very, very intensively, and you teach them to listen, to kind of be able to navigate before the punching happens, mostly, not always. working with both students, teachers, staff, family sometimes police. So we were very successful in reducing violence in the school.
So you don't really believe in the Tony Soprano method of dealing with conflict?
If we cannot get there, it's a little better.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to Madison when? Did you move here?
4 years ago we moved here.
Okay.
Yep. So my husband works at the university and that's what brought us here.
You like it here?
We love it here.
Really?
And, you know, and part of the reason...
Even the weather?
Let's not go to the weather. But part of the reason we did come here was for the schools. And, you know, we feel really, really fortunate to be in a place that values public education so much.
Well, you happened to run at a time when everybody else decided to run. And you had a very close election in the primary, right?
It is true.
What niche do you want to fill on the school board? I always like to try to see what void people are filling on the school board and what they think their niche might be.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think I am a pretty pragmatic person. I'm a numbers person. I ran a business, right? I like to get stuff done. And sometimes I use a word that's not stuff, right? So I'm the person on the school board that's going to bring a healthy dose of what are the results, but also a healthy dose of being in the schools, right? I'm the only person running for the seat right now that has a kid in public schools. And there's only two other folks. Anna is the only other person with a young students, right? So that kind of elementary school experience. So I think I bring a couple things. I bring that young parent voice. I bring a bit of the business pragmatic, let's manage our budget right, let's make sure we're putting money where it matters. And then I also bring the voice of an educator that I have worked in schools and in a pretty urban environment.
Okay, so that's the left brain side stuff. What about the right brain side stuff? What's your passion?
My passion. So I am I'm a deep believer in the relationships that kids form in school. And that is the thing that I think makes education special. Teachers, but not just teachers, right? Really anyone in the school. It's the person in your memory, in your education growing up, who you still remember to this day, right? Who inspired you to believe in yourself, who inspired you to do something different. And that relationship is magic, right? And so I want to do everything in our power to make sure that we give that time and space and make sure that kids and adults can create those relationships.
Maybe not so much in Madison, but even in Madison to some degree, when teachers lose collective bargaining rights, they feel a little more inhibited when it comes to teaching outside the lines and teaching kids to be creative and have a passion for what they do rather than turning them into, I don't know,
automatons.
Yes.
I think that's a great point. And I think, you know, we've watched over the last few years a variety of initiatives come down that are trying to create more consistency across our schools. And I think that's another way that we limit teachers and staff ability to be creative and to teach. I mean, most people go into teaching because they just are passionate about kids, right? And they want to be creative and reach every kid in the way that works best for that kid.
Although here's the argument as to why they were doing that, and I'm sure you've heard this, because we have so many children that are transient that end up from, you know, I never switched schools. I started at Hegel Elementary, then I went to Orchard Ridge Middle School, and then I went to Madison Memorial School. It was a progression right through my district, right? Now kids move around. And if they've started something at Kennedy School, and then they move over to the west side of town, and they're at Van Hise, I would imagine that's why they want some consistency so they're not starting over again, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, to be fair, we, of course, need to have some consistency. Some of that's legal at this point, and it's going to exist no matter what. But we can't do it at the cost of the spark of the kind of love of education that, that so many staff do bring to the table and that so many kids really react to, right?
Teacher pay.
Yes. So this is a big deal for me, right? I've worked in the private sector. I believe pay matters. We live in a liberal place, and our starting pay for teachers is lower than almost every city in the state.
Yeah, I saw only Janesville is lower. MPS in Milwaukee, the teachers start out with 4,000 more per year. Is it 42,000 a year starting pay in Milwaukee?
It can be
43.
Yeah, it can be even higher depending on the school. So starting pay for our teachers, if you just straight out of school with a BA, no advanced degree, you're going to make around $36,000-$37,000 a year. Milwaukee can be 43, 44. Green Bay, La Crosse, Middleton, Sun Prairie, all of those are going to be higher than us. And so for me, this is a problem, right? Because I that relationship is the thing I'm going for. I'm going for the best teacher possible. I want to win and I want to keep them. And I think that's hard to do if we're not competitive in pay. We're a great place to live, but it's not
fair. Well, although I look at this, and Madison is more expensive to live than Green Bay.
Yep.
Madison's more expensive to live than Appleton.
Yep.
Madison's more expensive to live than probably Racine. Milwaukee's probably is expensive. But La Crosse, for instance, La Crosse is cheaper to live than Madison, and they can do 42. How?
Yep.
At what expense? You're saying you're pragmatic and that you're willing to look at numbers. At what expense, what do we cut to raise the teacher's pay?
So I think this is kind of where it gets a little nitty-gritty, right? So I'm talking about starting pay. So there's not that many teachers that start every year in Madison. So it's not actually a big financial impact. We could do this without taking away from really anything else out there. And it's something, to be fair, that the district is working on. The district knows that this is a problem. I've spoken to the folks at UW-Madison here about, you know, where do their educators want to go after they graduate? They do all their training here. You know, there are other places that are more attractive, right? So we need to be able to win our kind of new teachers. And part of the reason that I'm passionate about that starting teacher is because less teachers are going into teaching every year. And so
I wonder why.
Well, but this is exactly the point, right? So if we could be, I believe Madison could be one of the places that's still a fantastic place to work as an educator. And we need to put our money where our mouth is for that.
You have MTI's endorsement.
I do.
I would imagine you talk to them about this. They're going to say, now, technically, they don't have collective bargaining rights anymore, but they have a handbook and they have a district that will listen to them. However you want to codify that, you know, they still have an ear here, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to New Berlin or some of the other right-wing places in the state. They're going to say if you raise teacher pay, you're going to have to raise the other pay, aren't they? Aren't they saying that?
You know, they're working on this has been an ongoing conversation at the district for about the last year, and so I don't know all of the details.
What does MTI say?
About pay?
Yeah.
You know, MTI's single most important pay issue right now is actually for special ed assistants. So there's been an ongoing campaign for what we call SEAs. These are the people in our district that work with our most needy students. They, on average, take home about $14,000 a year, which is just immoral, right? I mean, these are the people that are incredibly, incredibly critical in our schools to keep them operating effectively, and we are not supporting them. So that's actually their biggest campaign right now. I think it needs to be across the board, right? I mean, this is an issue of having quality staff to interact with our kids. Our kids deserve to have adults that are supported working with them. My son spends 7 hours a day with the people in his school, right? It's more time than he spends with us most days.
Your other concerns about the Madison School District.
Yes. So the two other things that I've spoken a lot about through this campaign, one is around the achievement gap. I'm sure we can talk about that a little bit. And then the other is around really the federal and state environment that we're in right now around privatization and taking public money and putting it into private schools.
I noticed that you don't have the DeVos Foundation's endorsement.
I do not, nor would I seek it. Thank goodness.
Do you think privatization is a threat even in Madison?
I do think it's a threat even in Madison, yes.
You also don't have Kaleem Cares' endorsement.
Your opponent has Kaleem Cares' endorsement. Although I think there is a lot of value in the school that he proposed, actually. So, you know, I mean, we can talk about the difference between public charters and private charters or vouchers. My perspective on charters as a whole is they were originally intended to provide a tool to innovate for our neediest kids, right? And I am open to doing that actually for public charters for our very neediest kids. That's not how the district has been using charters. And it's not what I see coming down the pike. Our district just approved a new charter school. It's an existing private Montessori on the Isthmus. It serves primarily white families in a very well-served part of the city. They don't meet our academic standards right now. Their budget doesn't balance, but we approved it anyways against the superintendent's recommendation.
You've been going to school board meetings?
I have been.
I can tell. Yeah. You're also really looking into a lot of things with great detail.
I'm a detail person. I'm also a big picture person. I mean, I think both really matter. The role of the school board is to manage the superintendent. It's to manage the budget, and it's to make major policy choices. And I was a mediator, right? I mean, I trained mediators, but I was a mediator. So I'm a big believer in listening to all sides of the story before forming my own opinion.
What does the school board pay?
$8,000 a year.
So you're doing this for the money.
Yes, exactly. I'm doing it for my kids. You know, I'm doing it for all of our kids. This public schools, public education is the single most important thing we have right now in our country to fight back against the intolerance, the inequality. I mean, if our kids can't go to public school and get a great education, then we will live in a two-class society. And given where we are at right now as a country, I just think that leads to an incredibly dangerous place.
Kate Taves with us. It's liesoffice.com.
Take the scenic drive to the Guitar Oasis Cool in Jefferson County. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com.
We're talking with Kate Taves. She's, of course, a candidate for school board. I know it's T-O-E-W-S, but it's Taves, right?
It's Taves. And if you're a hockey fan, you'll know that.
Right. Let me ask you a little bit about something that we talked about when we met the other day, and that was my concern is that the population of Madison, the demographics of Madison, still very, very white,
yep,
very middle class, and the school district is it a majority-minority district?
Yeah, 57%.
Uh-huh. What percentage of kids are eligible for free lunch?
It's a
pretty high.
Yep. Yeah, okay. It is.
So, you know, I went to Madison Memorial when it was let's put it this way. The swim team and the hockey team were really, really good when I went there. So that had to tell you demographically, right?
Yep.
And, of course, they're both still good programs. But it's changed.
It has changed.
When you have a district where a lot of people are transient that are going to the schools and the regular population of the city is getting a little older, don't necessarily all sending kids to the public schools. How do you keep people engaged? Because and so far people have been exceedingly generous with passing referendums and.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great point. We have a community that is dedicated to public education. We do invest a lot in our schools. Our budget's $450 million, 17 grand a kid. Average in the U.S. is about 10 and a half a kid. So we spend a lot on our schools, and our community has dedicated itself to that. But as our community becomes more different than the school population, I think it's a real challenge.
What are equity budgets?
Yeah, you saw that on my website. So equity budget is the fancy term that the district uses to how they decide where to put money. So one of the jobs of the school board is to decide which schools get how many resources, right? How many staff. And the way that the district has approached that historically, which I in general am in favor of, is based on need. right? So not every school has the same number of staff per kid. Some of our schools, you'll see 15 kids in a third grade class, and some of them you'll see 25. That's a pretty big gap.
Right.
And it's intentional. It's intentional based on the poverty levels in the school, based on the needs in the school. We have more mental health experts in some schools than others. We have more behavior support in some schools than others. I think that's appropriate. And so the equity budget is just sort of a fancy term that the district's using for it.
Are you happy with the way they're allocating the resources?
By and large. I mean, I think the exact numbers are always a little wonky, and certainly the extremes. You'll see funny things happen any given year in a school just because of population bubbles. But I do think in general, our high poverty schools need to be at smaller class sizes, need to have more mental health support, more behavioral support. And I think we actually need to be even kind of more creative. I mean, I am an entrepreneur. I think we need to be pretty innovative about how we look at particularly some of our trauma-informed educational practices and what kinds of support we can provide for students.
There's another term I don't know. You're going to have to tell me.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you brought up the kind of transient nature, right? I mean, we have a homeless population in our schools that we are not doing a good job supporting, right? And these kids are kids that have a lot of instability in their lives, and we need to be thinking differently about how to create that system of support, not just what you get for the, you know, 6 hours you're in class,
right,
but the whole system to support you as a kid.
Do you think we should keep the pairings in the school?
The pairings, I mean, so my son goes to a paired school. It's been incredibly, incredibly successful. I was at another paired school, Midvale, last week. So I think, by and large, they've been incredibly successful.
Yeah, I live a block away from Midvale. I've been kind of a curmudgeon about paired schools because I kind of like the idea of kids going to neighborhood schools.
Yep.
And teachers have pleaded with me, you need to come see all the wonderful things that are going on. But I don't understand exactly how the integration happens because, for instance, if you go to Midvale, if you live in the Midvale neighborhood, Westmoreland neighborhood, you go to Midvale for a couple years, right?
Yep.
And then you get shipped to Lincoln.
Yep.
Right? And then the kids from Lincoln start at Lincoln and move over to Midvale. Where's the integration? Because they're still segregated by grade, aren't they?
They are still, so grades are all separate. And actually, Midvale Lincoln is an interesting one because we have the dual language immersion program there, which has created another kind of two-school setup within the school. But the other pairings don't have that DLI, we call it, dual language program.
Uh-huh.
You're giving me a funny look. So
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, the dual language piece of it, this is a program that has had a lot of great success and also some challenges because of some of the segregation it can create in a school, because we're pulling our English language learners into one side and not in the other.
What about parents that don't have cars when the kids aren't in neighborhood schools, as far as going to parent-teacher conferences and that sort of thing?
Well, so there's two issues there. One is bringing kind of parents, getting parents engaged in a variety of ways in our kids' education. And then the other is just how you physically get to school. One of the most interesting things I've found through this process is crossing guards. We have dramatically different numbers of crossing guards at our different elementary schools. Some of our schools have one, some of our schools have none, some of our schools have like seven. I mean, it's very, very interesting. So that's just a sort of a random comment. In terms of parent engagement, this is complicated, right? So this is where we hold our meetings. This is the language the meetings are held in. We've got a big Hmong-speaking population, Spanish-speaking population, and then the time of those meetings. So we got to solve all three of those things if we're able to actually engage parents.
How happy are you with Superintendent Cheatham's job performance and her, is she, you say you want results, is she providing the results she promised?
So I think Superintendent Cheatham has done a really good job on a couple of things. She's gotten us very focused on the achievement gap, which we probably should spend a little time chatting about, and are beginning to see results there at the early grade levels. I also think there's been a lot of initiatives coming out from the Doyle Building, right? So we've got Pathways, which is a dramatic overhaul of our high school curriculum coming out. We had the behavior education plan. We have a new technology initiative, new literacy curriculums district-wide, new math curriculum.
It's a lot of things to keep track of.
It's a lot of things, right? I've worked in a lot of organizations, big ones, little ones. I have never seen an organization absorb five changes at once well. I've just never seen it happen. Doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how good your people are, it doesn't happen. I'm a big believer in focus and bringing, you know, what's the one thing we have to get right over the next 3 years? Let's invest in that. Let's support it. Let's not roll it out in 1 year or half a year. Let's roll it out over multiple years. Keep the same focus. Keep the same communication. That helps kids.
So you think we're too scatterbrained right now?
I think we've just bitten off a lot. Right. And sometimes when you do that, it's all with good intentions, but it means that nothing gets done well.
I think scatterbrained is more fun. It provides a little more invective.
Scatterbrained is a fair word, yeah.
How do you see yourself working with the other people that are on the board?
Yeah, I think, you know, the board has a nice diversity of perspectives right now. We've got a couple of people with educational backgrounds, one person with a business background, one nonprofit, right? And I can, you know, I live kind of in the middle maybe of the set of people that's there right now. So I'd be very, very excited to work with them on a variety of things.
What do you think about what Milwaukee Public Schools did the other day, mandating uniforms?
You know, I grew up in Long Beach, California, and I went to public school there. The majority of the people in my elementary school did not speak English as a first language. And we did not have uniforms when I went there, but we did institute it at some point after. And I have a hard time imagining it flying here.
We're not really conformists.
No, we're not. We're a let a thousand flowers bloom kind of place.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely do see the value in it. You know, kids notice things like how much your shoes cost, what kind of brand name you have on your T-shirt. And there's so much inequity in our schools already that why introduce more? But I have a hard time imagining that flying here.
All right, let me ask you the most important question of this interview. Should teachers be armed in Madison Public Schools in case a grizzly bear were to get into one of the buildings?
If grizzly bears live here, then we got so many other big problems that I don't even know where to go with
that. I had to
ask. Well, it was like the highlight of the Betsy DeVos hearings.
It was. Well, I mean, at least she provided some entertainment with that one, right? Instead of just total crazed.
Almost as much entertainment as Ben Carson, but not quite. If people want to help you out, where do they go?
Kate Taves for schoolboard.com, or if you Google me on Facebook, you'll find my my Facebook page.
That's TOEWS.
It's TOEWS. Sounds like Taves like waves.
All right. Thanks for coming on to Sly's Office.
Thanks, Sly.
Sly'sOffice.com brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.